Bruchim Abayim to another week of Parsha Insights, except that tonight is not on Parsha. If it was, it would be starting Sefer Vayikra. Be'ezus Hashem, we should be zeicha to learn and to finish Sefer Vayikra in the best of health. However, although tonight is Parsha Insights and should be Vayikra, as we advertised, it's on Haggadah Shel Pesach. Sometimes we're able to give two parts, three parts this year, Be'ezus Hashem. We'll try to get in as much as we can. And I guess it's called a one-part series on Haggadah Shel Pesach. The shir is being said, Lezecher Nishmas, Uleili Nishmas, Rebecca Bas Serina, and Leon Ben Rachel. Be'ezus Hashem, the Shama Tahiris should have a Lichtige, Lichtige Gan Eden. I'm always grateful to those who are here in the Heichal, those who are listening live as we give the shir, and the many who will Be'ezus Hashem hear it once it's sent out. And be mezakeh the rabbim if you have ways to send it to people and to share the words on Haggadah Shel Pesach. I think that would be a wonderful thing to do. What I thought originally when we were going to give the share on Haggadah Shel Pesach is that we were trying to take from throughout the Seder, from throughout the Haggadah. This way we'd have a little bit to say on many different parts. But it ended up that I found each pshat that I ended up, or not all of them, but many of them, came back to the Dalet Bonim. I guess that's just a raya how important Chinuch Bonim is, and how the job of educating our children, our Einik Lach, ourselves, is of critical importance. I found literally that even though I went to other parts of the Haggadah and other parts of the Seder, it kept coming back again and again to the Dalet Bonim. So not all, but a large part of what we're going to share in the next 35 minutes or so is going to be on the Dalet Bonim. And I hope, Be'ezus Hashem, that you will share these words at the Seder, and Be'ezus Hashem, it should give us all tremendous chizuk. Firstly, we have to point out, as we've mentioned in earlier years, that when introducing the Dalet Bonim, the Chacham, the Rosh of the Tum, the She'enu Yodei Lishol, it speaks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the word Mokoim. Baruch HaMokoim Baruch Hu. And although Mokom means a place, here Mokom is a reference to the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And a number of years ago, I thought of the following. It's not common at all to use the name of Makom referring to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's pretty rare, and yet here, when introducing the Dalet Bonim, we use that rare name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Makom. So a number of years ago, I thought Be'ezras Hashem and B'siyata Dishmai of the following Chiddush, and I think there is certainly MS to it. We find primarily four other times that the word makom is used. And there is a tzara shava, there's a commonality between those four times. I imagine that the most common of the four, when one pays a shiva visit and does nicham aveilim, one turns to the oval and says, ha-makom yenachem eschem, which means Hashem should give you comfort. But we use the name HaMakom. Perhaps the others are not as well known. It's brought down that if you visit someone, so we say to the person who's ill, Refuah Shalema. It's brought down that we want to say, may Hashem heal you. So one says, HaMakom Yerape Oischa, may Hashem heal you. Now I do tell you, be careful when you're visiting someone who's ill and you start with the word HaMakom. You certainly might scare them because, as we said a moment ago, it's much more commonly used by Nichum Avela. But a person is ill, the name HaMakom is used as well. We, of course, know that if a person is incarcerated, we say in the famous paragraph of Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael, please, for those who find themselves in this situation, that situation, Bein Bayom, Bein Bayabosho, people who find themselves in a dire situation, HaMakom Yerachem, may Hashem have mercy and compassion. That's the third time. And the fourth time it's brought down that we use the name of HaMakom, also not as well known, is if a person unfortunately loses a tremendous amount of money, it's brought down that we say Hashem fill your losses. What's the tzad hashava, the commonality between those four situations in life and the fact that in each of them, and as I believe it's the only times that we use the name Hamakim, the tzad hashava, the commonality is that those four times in a person's life, I don't mean that a person experiences all four, but if one does, chalila, it's really at a moment that they feel tremendous desperation. They sometimes might be in any of those four situations and think, is there ever going to be a bright tomorrow? And now apply that to all four. Certainly if a person is sitting Shiva, Rachmana l'Tzlan, they lost a family member, they may wonder, is it possible for me to go on? Is there going to be a future? Am I going to be able to continue? And certainly if a person is incarcerated, they may feel that way. If a person loses life savings or an incredible amount of money, they certainly may feel that way. And if a person's in a hospital or a person is ill, when a person is going through a sickness and they might be hooked up to tubes or machines or whatever it might be, they might be wondering, will I be able to continue? Will I be healthy again? So I believe it's not a shovel between the four of the hamakom, 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 hamakom. In those four situations, a person finds themselves wondering, will I be able to continue? Is there going to be a tomorrow? Will things ever be bright again? Maybe that's why when it comes to the Dalet Banim, we also use that name of Hashem that we rarely use of Hamakim. Because sometimes when it comes to Chinuch Banim, raising our children, there's something known as Tzar Gidol Banim, difficulty in raising children on many different levels. Sometimes maybe when it comes to educating our children, the next generation, we might feel exactly the way that we mentioned in those four situations. Is it going to be better? Is it going to turn around? Do I stand a chance? Ribbono shel Olam, I need such extraordinary help. Precisely in the area of Chinuch Banim, educating our children on the next generations, we use that same name, Hamakim, 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 Baruch Hamakim, Baruch Hu, as a way of reassuring ourselves. Rabbi said the only time that name of Hamakim is used is in four very dire situations. We mentioned the four already twice, I believe. Sometimes when it comes to Chinuch Banim and raising our children, we might also feel desperation, a dire situation. The Baal Haggadah says, no, Baruch HaMakim. Just like in those four situations, the name is used to remind us that there will, Be'ezer Hashem, be a tomorrow and a beautiful future, and will once again be bright. Here as well, I believe, when it comes to Chinuch Banim, the Baal Haggadah deliberately uses the name of HaMakim, as we said already a couple of times, the name of Hashem that's rarely used. Why? Because I believe Chinuch Banim and educating our children has the same tzad hashava, the same commonality as the other four situations. Sometimes we might feel such a sense of desperation or things might be so difficult, we are reminded using that name, Baruch HaMakai Baruch Hu. By the way, that pshat that I just shared with you, which I think is MS, certainly goes well with another pshat that we once mentioned regarding the Dalet Banim, and that is, according to some, the Dalet Banim are not necessarily Dalet Banim, but actually one son, one child that sometimes makes you feel your child is a Chacham, sometimes a Tom, sometimes a She'en Yodeh, and sometimes, or if you're very disappointed or whatever it might be, a wicked son, Rasha. In other words, some Mefarshim explain that, of course, the simple interpretation is that it's four separate sons. But some want to say that it's one son that at times displays the different tendencies, sometimes the Chacham, sometimes the Tom, sometimes the Rasha, sometimes the She'en Yodeh. And if you want, by the way, a beautiful proof to that, because did you notice that when it introduces the Dalet Banim, it says, Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Tom, Echad She'en Yodeh. Maybe the way to read that is that really it's one child, Echad. We're only dealing with one child. But that Echad, that one child, sometimes displays the behavior of a Chacham, sometimes of a Rasha, sometimes of a Tom, something like that. But it's Echad, it's one son. If you want another beautiful proof based on a gematria, the gematria of the word Echad, Aleph Ches Dalet, is exactly 13. But it says the word echad four times. What's 13 times four? It's 52. The word ben, son, a child, beis nun, is exactly 52. So that's just a beautiful proof that in actuality, all four sons are really found behavior within one child. As I said a moment ago, echad, 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 13 times four is 52, and ben is exactly 52, just bringing a proof according to those who say that it's actually one son who displays the different tendencies, this, that, this, and that. Certainly, if you learn that way, the pendulum and the swinging of emotion for a parent is extraordinary. You might feel, who is my child? What's going on? Sometimes I feel they're a chokhom. Sometimes, unfortunately, not. There, when you feel such a loss because of the extreme swinging of the pendulum of emotion and character traits of your child, the one child, that's where the Baal HaGadah reassures us, Baruch HaMakom. And where's the name Makom used? Only in four of the most desperate situations, to remind you, you're always in the same Makom. And by the way, might I add, to conclude this of our Torah, where is that Makom? That Makom is, and it's based on a pshat from Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, a famous pshat from Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, that Makom is, you're always in the loving embrace of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz bases it on a well-known mashal. It's his. He explains it's based on the fact that when we assembled the Mishkan, we took it apart. But the point of the mashal is, if there would be a child of a few months old who was being held by the loving embrace of his or her mother, and you would ask the child, where are you right now? It doesn't make a difference if that mother is in Miami and then travels to Georgia and afterwards to New York and then over to California. The child's always going to give the same answer. Where am I? I'm in the same place. I'm in the warm and loving embrace of my mother. That's the explanation when we say Baruch HaMakom. We're always in the same Makom. It's true that we travel in our many vicissitudes in life and ups and downs, etc. But we always have to remember we're in the same Makom. Where is that Makom? In the warm and loving grace of Avinu Shebashamayim, our Creator, the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the same way that can get a person through the four potentially dark situations in life, equally it's true by Chinuch Banim, Baruch HaMakom, a reminder, we're always in the warm and loving embrace. And Be'ezras Hashem, even if there are vicissitudes and challenges, there will always be Be'ezras Hashem, a beautiful future. Not everyone learns that the four Banim are really one. Of course, we learn that they're actually four different sons. And so I saw a beautiful pshat, and then that caused me to think of another and yet another. And that's why I say, maybe instead of calling tonight a shir on Haggadah Shel Pesach, it would have been more appropriate to call it a shir on the Dalet Banim. But since the Dalet Banim are an integral chelik of Haggadah Shel Pesach, I feel comfortable and hopefully it will give us a better feel. I think the way we advertised this year was to give us a more meaningful Seder. And I chose those words deliberately, meaning, if you had a chance to take a look at the flyer, I deliberately wrote on the top to, in other years, I think we call it a more enjoyable Seder. This year, I changed it to a more meaningful Seder. I tried to choose things that will indeed give us a more meaningful Seder. Let's take now another pshat on the Dalet Banim. I think generally, when we match up the four sons in pairs, we do it based on the way it's in order. Who's the first one? The Chacham. The next one's the Rasha. The third one's the Tum. And the last one is the She'eino Yudea Lishal. I think generally we say the Chacham and the Rasha, those are opposites of each other. And the Tum and the She'eino Yudea Lishal, you have to know why, but they, the simple, and the one who doesn't know how to ask, they're also opposites of each other. But I think that's the way we generally learn, and that would explain the order. The Chacham is next to the Rasha, the Tum is next to the She'eino Yudea Lishal, to tell us that it's a pair. The opposite of Chacham is Rasha. The opposite of Tum is She'eino Yudea Lishal. I think that's the way many learn. The problem with that is, the opposite of Rasha is not Chacham. The opposite of Rasha is Tzadik. So how do you explain the opposite of Rasha being Chacham The opposite of a wicked person would be a righteous person, would be a tzaddik, yet we speak in terms not of a tzaddik, but of a chacham. The Vilna Gaon, Zechus Yagan Aleinu, brings down a beautiful pshat, and I got so excited when I saw it, not only because the pshat is so extraordinary, but it reminded me of another pshat that I saw about a couple of weeks ago. The Vilna Gaon says, chacham is not placed opposite the Rasha. Because if that meant to be the polar opposite, then instead of Rasha, as we said already twice, it should say tzaddik and not chacham. So he explains it differently. He says that the chacham is opposite the she'ena yodea lishol. And we could certainly understand that, because what does the chacham mean? The wise, the inquisitive, the one who has that brilliant, stellar question. What would be the opposite of that? She'ena yodea lishol, the one who doesn't know how to ask. So that is incredible. We could certainly understand that the opposite of a chacham is the she'ena yodea lishol. What does that mean then? That the opposite of the Rasha is, who's the only one left? The opposite of the Rasha is the Tum. Maybe the definition of the Tum is not the way we always envision, oh, that simple son. And sometimes you see pictures, you know, if a Haggadah has pictures, they give a picture for the Tum as that simple, simple, almost unintelligent child. But why would that be the opposite of Rasha? Indeed, it's not, says the Vilna Gaon, that the word Tum, I such a fabulous pshat. Because when, let's face it, when we think of the Tum, we don't think of him in the same extraordinary light as we do Chacham. Oh, I want my child to be the Chacham. Oh, I don't want to have to settle. I want my child to be the Chacham. The Vilna Gaon says that the word Tum is from the word Timimus. Now that we're going to get to in a second, if I heard what somebody said correctly. Timimus. What does the word Timimus mean? What's the best definition for the word Timimus? Timimus. What would be the best definition of the word Timimus? A certain pureness. I never do this. I should know this is going to go viral. I never allow it open. Mordechai, what would you say it is, Timimus? A wholesomeness, a Timimus. Yaakov ish tom yeshev oholim. Tomim tiyeh, Hashem olitecha. Tomim tiyeh. Be pure. Be wholesome. Be a tomim. Tomim tiyeh. Very well-known pasuk. Says the Vilna Gaon, don't translate the word tom with almost a little bit of a negative connotation as if it's a simple son, but rather read it as hoylech b'tmimus, someone who always goes in the path of Hashem. He's a tomim. He is sincere. He's wholesome. He's genuine. If you learn the tum as that, number one, it has an entirely different connotation. No longer is that son the simple son, but he is a pride. He's timimus. He's someone who's tumim tiyeh Hashem elokecha. He goes wholeheartedly with wholesomeness, fully with Hashem. The opposite of that is indeed the Rasha. That's the way the Vilna Gaon pairs it up, very differently than we generally do. I think if you bring this up at the Seder, they'll say that it should generate extraordinary conversation. Speak out, why is the Chacham the opposite of She'ena Yodeh, as we said a few moments ago, and why, according to the Vilna Gaon, is the Rasha the opposite of the Tum, because Tum is from the word Timimus, as you said, the wholesomeness, the purity, the sincerity. Hoylech tumim, to go tumim tiyeh, the opposite of that is indeed Rasha. The one question you might wonder if you match it up that way is, it doesn't seem to me, because in order it has number one, if you're looking at my Haggadah, Chacham, and number two, the Rasha. So it's almost as if they're paired up, and the last two is the tumim and the she'ena yodeah. So to that, the pshat is, really we match it up the way the Vilna Gaon says, that the Chacham is with the She'ena Yodeh and the Tum is with the Rasha. The only reason that it didn't list it in that order is because that means that the last one we would mention is the Rasha. And we don't want to end and close the four with the wicked son. So really it is the way the Vilna Gaon said matched up. Who's the opposite of the Chacham? The She'ena Yodeh. Who's the opposite of the Rasha? The Tum. We simply mention it in a different order, so the last one is not the Rasha. The point of the Pshata, the Vilna Gaon, Zechusa Yagan Aleinu, is the beauty of the Tum. The Tum has that purity, sincerity, a wholesomeness. As we quoted the Navi, Tumim Tiyeh Hashem Elokecha. What a beautiful, beautiful child, a beautiful midah. Halavai, we are all children of Hashem. Halavai, we should all have that wholesomeness and purity, the opposite of Russia. May we strive and be zoicha to be that tum, that wholesomeness, that purity, that sincerity. It's really something that we many times have said we wish on our children. Why is it that Chazal say, the Pasuk says, when we speak about our children, we say, I feel so wonderful to say it in front of you, because in your home, you indeed have a beautiful picture of that olive tree. At least I see it when I walk into your home over there, if it's on that right-hand wall. But there's a beautiful picture, and I believe by that olive tree, it says, on that picture in your home, I think of that picture every time I say that Pasuk. Why? Why like olives? It's based on the idea that in the flood, the marvel of Noach, people were corrupt, animals were corrupt, min b'she'eno mino, and not vegetation, but the trees as well, Chazal tell us, were corrupt, grafted. But there's one tree that remained completely pure. That was the Atzei Zayis, the olive tree. From the human and the animal and the trees, only the Atzei Zayis, the olive tree, was what remained totally pure. What bigger bracha is there than to wish our descendants and our children, Banecha kishile zeisim, son of the Shulchanecha, tire a kinderlach, my children, my enoglach, my generations, my future. I look around the table and the biggest bracha I have is, may you be like the Atzei Zayis, Banecha kishile zeisim. Remain tumim, remain wholesome, remain pure, remain sincere. So a few weeks ago, I saw a beautiful chat regarding the tum. And it's based on a story, you could almost say homiletically drush, but it ties in so well to the pshat of the Vilna Gaon. The way I read the Maisa was that somebody was visiting a derful, small city in Russia, and he didn't really have a place to be for the Seder. He was invited by someone, and he certainly felt that that person who invited him was like the ultimate tum, a simple, simple, uneducated person. But that's where he had to spend the Lel Seder, and that's where he would spend it. And nothing really spectacular happened throughout the reciting of the Haggadah Lel Seder. But one peculiar thing happened. And when this Chassid the Shayid came back to his Rebbe said, what did you experience? And he told him, I really spent the Seder with a tum, meaning tum the way we understood it before the Pshat of the Vilna Gaon, a simple, uneducated child. Did you see anything interesting? The Rebbe asked the Chassid. He said, yeah, I did. One thing I did find interesting, and that was that when it came to the Dalet Banim, and maybe I'm looking around, I see some people nodding. Maybe it's a well-known shot. When it came to the Dalet Banim, and it came to the Tum, he literally said the words, Tum, Mahu, Aymer. What does the simple son say? And he repeated it again and again. Tum, Mahu, Aymer, Tum. And he was crying. He was crying. He didn't cry at any other point in the Haggadah, the night of the Seder. But this simple, uneducated person, the one time that he lost it and cried and cried and cried, the Moish Sholish was when he said the words, Tum, Mahu, Aymer. The Rebbe didn't find that amusing at all. And the Rebbe said, that child, that man, I should say, was certainly not a tum in the definition that you're getting this all done. Do I ask that every shir? I think I ask, Eagle, are you getting this all done? He takes amazing notes, as you know. Liyayin Hara. He was certainly not a tum in the simple sense of the word. And the Rebbe went on to explain that in Russian and in other languages, you find that the word tum is from the word hasam. Rabbi said, when we learn Gemara, the word hacha means here. The word hasam means there. So the word tum, etymologically, in Russian and in other languages as well, comes from the word hasam. And hasam, we just said, especially when we're learning Gemara, what does the word hasam mean? There. So this fellow was not a simple person at all. You know why he cried when he got to those words? Because he was translating it in the following way. Tum, meaning not a reference to the sun, but what did we say tum means? Hasam, there, in the next world, when we pass away, and we're in the Olam HaEmes, the world that's all truth. Mahu Oimer, what are we going to say? What are they going to say about us? What are we going to be able to say? And over there in the Olam HaEmes, what are they going to say about us? And he was so moved by that powerful question, he couldn't get past it. And he kept repeating and crying and crying and repeating, Tom, over there in the Olam HaEmes, Mahu Oimer, what are we going to be able to say? What excuse are we going to have? And what are they going to say about us? I think that pshat goes so well with the Vilna Gaon's explanation, because the Vilna Gaon said that that Tom is not an uneducated, simple child at all, but in actuality, it's someone who's tamim, who's wholesome, who's pure, who's genuine and sincere. That person that's a tamim indeed reads the question the way we just said in the story. Tom, over there, Tom, when we get to the Olam HaEmes Hasam, Mahu Oimer. Are we going to have good answers? Are you and I going to be properly equipped? You know, I remember we once said when we spoke out the Nesana Taikef, which may very well be the most stirring and poignant heartfelt, certainly one of them that we say, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it says, Mi Yichye Mi Yamos. Who is going to live and who is going to die? Who's going to pass away? I remember once saying over a story a couple of years ago, it's a sharp line. You have to appreciate it. I don't recall who it happened with. I apologize. That somebody was collecting money and Imamish wasn't being successful. So he went to the Rebbe and he said, Rebbe, I'm so worried. Mi yichye, I don't have with what to live. And the Rebbe answered, and I'm so worried. I don't have with what to die. Meaning to say, some people are worried, mi yichye, do you have with what to live? And really we should be worried, mi yamos, are we properly equipped to die? And of course that means, have we lived a meaningful life? Mahu Oimer, what are they going to say about us in the Olam HaEmes? What are they going to say about us? We were argumentative. We constantly compromised our principles. Or are they going to say we were a tumim? We strive to be better today than yesterday and tomorrow than today. Some people indeed worry, I don't have with what to live. Maybe it's equally, if not more important to worry, do I have with what to die? Meaning to say, are we properly preparing ourselves after 120 gesunte years that we, as a tum, hasam, over there, mahu oimer, what are they going to say about us? What are we going to be able to say? Manaymer manadabra. So although I enjoyed that story tremendously, after seeing the pshat of the Vilna Gaon, I enjoyed it even far greater because the Vilna Gaon is saying the tum is the opposite of the rasha. What is the tum? The one who is tumim, he's wholesome, he's sincere. He's like those zaysim I spoke about, pure. That child, that person, we have it within us. We're children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we read the question this year by the Seder, let's read it that other way as well. Tum, hasam over there, mahu aymer, what are we going to be able to say? What are they going to say about us? Do we have with what to live? Umi yamusan, do we have with what to properly prepare ourselves? One more note on the Dalet Bonim, and again, I realize that it was most of the shir, but hopefully we gained from it. I will want to mention at the conclusion in a few minutes some comments on the Dayenu, but there's one other thing that I want to mention on the Dalet Bonim that I thought was so, so profound. We mentioned a number of moments ago that if you would ask a father, or certainly many people, so which of the Dalet Banim, which character trait child would you prefer spending the Seder with? Most people would undoubtedly answer, again, before all the pshatim that we explained come in an entirely different light, most people would answer, oh, the Chacham. Hello, the Chacham. Is that the correct answer? Well, certainly you want the pleasure of being able to share and having someone contribute. Isn't it far less gratifying to spend the Seder with the Tum the way we originally understood it? The Sheina Yodei Elisha, the one who doesn't even know how to ask, what gratification is there to spend the Seder with that person? So I think most people would answer the Chacham. Is that indeed the correct answer? The Gemara doesn't feel that that's the correct answer. Some of the Mefarshim say, understand who might give you the most satisfaction to spend the Seder with. And I'd like to quote a little bit. I'll say it to you in English. Reb Chiya was Rebbe's foremost Talmud. The Gemara speaks out in Adarim. Reb Chiya was the co-author of the Tosefta. But Reb Chiya also had other accomplishments in his life. And this is based on the Gemara Bava Tzia, the Gemara in Ksubas, the Gemara we mentioned many times, that Machlekes Reb Chiya and Reb Chanina, what to do to make sure Torah isn't forgotten. We've mentioned that here countless times. What is it Reb Chiya said? He would single-handedly be able to create a way that the Gemara says, that Gemara that we quote in Bava Tzia and in Ksubas, he would plant flax, and of the flax he would make a net. He would trap deer. He would kill the deer. He would machilami basrayu liyasmi. He would give the meat to Yisaimim. And then on the hide, the klap, he would write different svarim. He would then travel to very far-flung Jewish communities, to those youth, those who were uneducated, and he would teach them what he learned. And then he would have them teach each other, and this one would teach that one, and more remote town again and again. And the Gemara declares about Reb Chiya, how great, Kama Gogol Maisa Chiya, how great are Reb Chiya's deeds. Rebbe's son once asked him, even greater than your own? And he replied, yes. Yet when Rebbe was on his deathbed and he was giving instructions as to who his successor should be, Reb Chiya was overlooked for the position of Rosh Hashiva. And when asked the reason for his decision, Rebbe replied, for my disciple Reb Chiya is involved in his mitzvahs, and I don't want to disturb him from those mitzvahs. Now let's take a moment to realize the profundity and the implication of the comment that was made by Rebbe on his deathbed about Reb Chiya. This remark of what Reb Chiya was worthy of. Reb Chiya had such extraordinary vast scholarship. As I mentioned to you earlier, his great accomplishments before we got to the Gemara of what he did with the children, he was certainly the most fitting candidate for the position of Rosh Hashiva, to mamish have the highest teaching position in the Jewish world. He'd be able to deal with the greatest Talmidei Chachamim and the foremost scholars from across the globe. Yet Rebbe decided that Reb Chiya's work and mitzvahs with the simple child, the uneducated youngster found in a far-flung distant village, was a more important calling for his prized disciple, Reb Chiya. I hope we realize how powerful and profound that pshat is. Reb Chiya certainly could have been chosen as the great Rosh Hashiva of the world, yet his own Rebbe felt it's more important for him to continue educating the youth, educating those youngsters who are so uneducated. Maybe now we could apply it to the Dalet Banim. You're right, dealing with the Chacham might be the most intellectually stimulating and intellectually rewarding. But in terms of importance, giving over the story maybe to that tum, that simple child, or the she'eni yodeya, because he's on the most elementary level and he doesn't know how to ask, maybe that ranks even higher than the most educationally gifted child. And I think as parents, as educators, as people who are trying with our children and our einikloch, that's something to keep in mind. And by the way, I don't just mean the Dalet Banim. Sometimes we speak in terms of the fifth child, the one who's not even at the Seder, the one who's not aware that there is a Seder. According to Rebbe's interpretation of Reb Chiya's life, the importance of dealing with those who may be not having the same privilege as us, the simple one, the uneducated, is even more important than that extraordinary gifted child. Maybe that's the way we have to start viewing many people, and certainly people that we're trying to bring closer to Hashem. What a schus, and what an opportunity to be able to interact with them. It should give us tremendous pleasure being able to bring those children closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a person takes a look in the Dayenu, we'll just mention a few things on the Dayenu and then we'll end with a bracha. Before we mention the 15 levels of Dayenu, you do know there are 15 levels. You know there are 15 levels. 15 levels of Dayenu. Why are there 15 levels? The Vilna Gaon brings down the importance. This should certainly be something that we speak about at the Seder. Let it stimulate conversation. Why 15 levels of Dayenu? There could be 14, there could be 16, there could be hundreds. Why specifically 15? The Vilna Gaon says, Adover Nifla Ad Lema'oi. There are deliberately 15 levels because 15 represents the steps and taking Klal Yisrael from the Tachlis HaShiflus, the lowest level that we were on, almost the point of no return, the 49th level of impurity when we left Mitzrayim, until the highest level, the Moraim, Meimuraimim, the highest level, the Tachlis HaShlemus, and Avodas Hashem, and the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, to go from the lowest level to the highest level takes exactly 15 steps, and that's what the Dayenu does. The Dayenu is a trajectory from the lowest level of shiflus to the highest level of what we could accomplish in our Avodas HaBayrei. Where do you see that this is represented by the number 15? Very beautifully. We just had Rosh Chodesh. When Rosh Chodesh starts, the moon, less than a sliver, virtually not there. And what day of the month is the moon at its fullest? What day of the month is the moon at its tachlis hashleimus on the 15th day? For it takes 15 days, 15 steps, the number 15, to go from something that seemingly doesn't exist to the tachlis of shleimus. And that's why he says when it comes to Tehillim, how many well-known chapters are there that begin with Shir HaMalos? How many chapters are there at Shir HaMalos? 15. 15 Shir HaMalos is similar to the fact that in the Azara, when a person was in the Beis HaMikdash and they went up the steps, how many steps did a person go up? They went up 15 steps. And the Vilna Gaon speaks out time and time again, it's the 15 steps and the 15 Shir HaMalos and the 15 days of the Levana that goes to Shabbos. And by the way, we are the moon. We are the moon. Doesn't the Pasuk say, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, which literally means that Rosh Chodesh is to be a mitzvah for you, but I believe it's Rav Shamshon Afal Hirsch who explains it differently. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, you are the moon, because the moon waxes and wanes, and to go from the level zero to the Tachlis HaShlemus is how many days? 15 days. The Vilna Gaon continues so powerfully that from this world to the highest, highest level, there are seven levels of heaven. The Gemara speaks it out. Maybe that's the expression, seventh heaven. There are seven levels. Now, that means that in between each, there is a gap between, and we are in Aretz. We are in Aretz. So if we are in Aretz, which is one, and there are seven levels of Rakia, And in between Aretz to the first, there's one. And from the first to the second, again, there's a space. So the Gemara brings down an extraordinary distance to travel. So how many does that mean there is from Aretz until the highest level? 15, because Aretz. And then to the seventh highest level of Rakia means 8. And in between 1 to 2 and 2 to 3 and 3 to 4, there is that pause, that airspace. That means that there are 15 Madregos, 15 levels. The name of Hashem, a Yud together with a Hey. This world and the next world, one created with a Yud and the other created with a Hey. Ki Bekah Hashem, what's the gematria of a Yud and Hey? What's the gematria of Yud together with a Hey? Once again, 15. Maybe that's why the Gemara tells us in Sukkah, when we were leaving the Azara, we turned and we said, Onu Leka, I say the word Ka, but of course I mean Yud and Hey, Ve'einenu Leka. And how much is the Yud and Hey? Once again, 15. In fact, who was it that built the first Beis HaMikdash? Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash. From Avram Avinu, when we started as a Jewish nation, until Shlomo HaMelech, when we were Zeicha to Malchus and the Beis HaMikdash, how many generations are there from Avram to Shlomo HaMelech? You could guess and you'd probably be right. 15. And that's the reason why Dayenu has exactly 15 steps. I almost wondered, did we do 15 15s? If not, we did about 10 or 12, so add a few more, then you'll have 15 15s. But Lamaisa, the Vilna Gaon speaks this out, that the level of Dayenu is specifically 15, because 15 brings us from the lowest level to the Tachlis HaShlemus, similar to the moon, which is on day 1, really non-existent, and on day 15, the Tachlis HaShleimus. As we said, similar to the 15 Shira Malises, similar to the 15 steps when one goes up from the Azara, similar to the 15 levels from Aretz to the highest level in the seventh level of Shemayim. And that is the name of Hashem, this world and the next world created with the Yud and the He. That's why when we left the Azara, we said, Onu Leka, Ve'einenu Leka, and it explains 15 generations from when we became a Jewish nation, Avram Avinu until the Beis HaMikdash, which is the Tachlis HaShleimus, Shlomo HaMelech is 15 generations. So when you think of the Dayenu, think of that Pshat of the Vilna Gaon. I don't understand. Before we start the Dayenu, we say, Kama Malos Tovos Lamakom Aleinu. Malos Tovos means how many extraordinary things, how many great things. And there's that word makom again. Isn't it nice to end the share the same way we started? How do we begin to share a number of pshatim ago with that name of makom? And we're ending the share. Once again, the Baal Haggadah uses the name of Hashem, that same name, the name of makom. Kama malos tovos lamakom aleinu. But grammatically, is that correct? We get these extraordinary gifts from Hashem, not to Hashem. So shouldn't the Baal Haggadah say, Kama malos tovos mei hamakom? How many great miracles, all extraordinary 15 steps, mei hamakom? They are from Hashem. Why does it say la makom, to? It's mei hamakom, from Hashem. Ask that by your say to tell people you won't feed them until they answer that question. That, I mean, I'm afraid they won't have an answer to that question. That's a powerful question. It should say mei hamakom, from Hashem, not to Hashem. The Al-Shuk says so beautifully. We mention in the Dayenu 15 Nisim that we're aware of. Do you know how many Nisim, they're actually called Nefla'is, wonders, that happen to us daily that we're not aware of? Are you aware of all the goodness that Hashem does for you? Sure, sometimes we're aware of the open, overt miracles. But what about the Nefla'is? You know what it says about the Nefla'is in Tehillim Kuf Lamed Vav? La'isa Nefla'is G'daylais Levadai. When it comes to Nefla'is, when it comes to the hidden miracles, things that we might take for granted, or miracles that simply, I wasn't even aware that because I didn't go on that block, this and that didn't happen. How many times a day do neflois happen and we're simply unaware of the magnitude, both in quantity and quality? Who knows about it? Who knows about the neflois? Who knows about it? The only one who knows about it is, the only one who knows about neflois and how grateful we really need to be is levadai, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are many times that we're not makir, we don't recognize, we're not cognizant, not in kamus and eichos, quantity or quality, how good Hashem is to us. As the Gemara tells us, afilu balanes eina makir benisoi, sometimes when a miracle happens to a person, he doesn't even realize how grateful he has to be. So the only one who really realizes and is aware and is makir all of those nisim and aflois is Levadai HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the way the Baal Haggadah begins, Dayenu. He says the word Lamakum, not Mehamakum. We ask the question, doesn't it come from Hashem? Why the Lamed? Kama Maloi. Such a beautiful way to end the Shir, Rabbi. So I hope you appreciate how beautiful this Pshadis from Malchus HaKadosh. Kama Maloi Toivais. Lamakum Aleinu. How many great things happened to us? How many malos, flavors, how many extraordinary gifts do we have? And the only one who knows about it is Lamakim. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu Levadai is aware. How true is that pshat? Kama malos tovos. How many great and extraordinary things happen to us on a daily basis? La Mokim, that only Hashem Levadai knows about, and we don't even realize how grateful we need to be. That's the proper way to start Dayenu. And therefore, once we start with the recognition, Kama Malish Taivais La Mokim, there's so much that we aren't even aware of. The miracles, the wonders that we have to appreciate, the only one who knows about them is La Mokim Hashem. So those I can't enumerate. Those I can't be mafarish. I don't know about them. So you know what I will try to at least do? I'll try to at least mention 15 nisim that I am aware of. 15 nisim that we do recognize. But we don't mean that as an exhaustive list. Maybe you could say, certainly, one of, if not the most important, or certainly equally important, is the opening line of Dayenu before we even start. It's the recognition that we're turning to Hashem and we're saying, Kama Malus Taimes La Mokli. We're not even aware of how much you do for us, how grateful we have to be. Everything we have is because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can't enumerate those because I don't even recognize what all of them are. So the best I can do is let me mention 15 nisim that I am aware of and that I do recognize, but not as an exhaustive list. Adarabba is a way of saying, these at least I could speak out, but the greatness of how much you do for me, Hashem, la makom, only you know about. I hope, Bezras Hashem, that we taka have a more meaningful Seder. We said a lot tonight, and we said some pshatim that should certainly stimulate a lot of conversation, a lot of discussion, whether it was about the Dalet Banim, specifically the Tum, or different pshatim in the Dayenu. I hope Bezras Hashem, all those here in the Heichal, all those listening, and all those who will hear the recording, will indeed have a more meaningful Seder. I hope Bezras Hashem, just like in the month of Nisan, we were redeemed. This Nisan, may we hear, experience, and feel the Geula Shelema. And as we say in the Haggadah, let us be zeicha v'noichal min hazvachim and min hapsochim, to be able to see the Beis Hamikdash, that 15th level, that 15th step, that 15th generation. Let's all come to the Tachlis Hashlemus to achieve what we were created to do, to worry about the Yichya and to worry about the Yamos, to be people who wonder, Mahu Omer, what are we going to answer and what do they say about us? Let's realize that everything that we're aware of, and certainly what we're not aware of, kama malos tovos lamakim, and may we experience that beautifulness, the miracle that we're waiting for, to have the geula shalem of this month of Nisan, to go back to Eretz Yisrael b'shalom u'b'shalva, and to be able to experience the third and everlasting Beis Hamikdash. I wish everyone a chag kosher v'sameach, a gebenchte, meaningful Pesach, and we should be zoiche to dance and rejoice together v'chutzos Yerushalayim.
Thank you.